Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the offer of amnesty for Edward Snowden made by an NSA official on the CBS program 60 Minutes that has attracted a lot of scorn from many journalists and media critics for its softball handling of the NSA domestic spying issue. A genuine whistleblower who was hounded out of the NSA, William Binney, a 37-year veteran who rose to the rank of the technical director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis Reporting Group at the National Security Agency, joins us. We will discuss the feasibility of the NSA official's offer to Snowden, which was dismissed by his boss, General Alexander, to stop Snowden's leaks, only 1% of which have been made public. Then we will speak with Dr. Guy Martin, a professor of political science at Winston-Salem State University, about the continuing carnage in the Central African Republic. A specialist on Africa who has taught at universities in Botswana, Cameroon, Kenya, and South Africa, he joins us to discuss the military intervention by the French and other African forces that appears to be too little too late in quelling sectarian massacres and counter-massacres in a predominantly Christian country whose Muslim minority government came to power in a recent coup. Then finally, we will look into the murderous intrigue inside the ruling godlike Kim dynasty in North Korea, following the execution of the new young leader's uncle, who was close to the leadership of that failing country's only outside lifeline, China. Sumi Terry, who was the director of Japan, Korea, and Oceanic Affairs at the National Security Council, joins us to discuss the possibility that the boy king Kim Jong-un is a modern-day Caligula conducting a reign of terror to consolidate his power, and that this may lead the immature, untested leader to provoke another international incident. And joining us now is William Binney, who served for 32 years in the National Security Agency and another 4 years in the military component of the NSA for a total of 37 years. He rose to the rank of the technical director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis and Reporting Group at the National Security Agency. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Binney.
Yeah, thank you.
And what was your impression of the 60 Minutes, Sunday 60 Minutes, where they billed it as a great opening for the NSA to get their side of the story over following these leaks by Edward Snowden?
Well, I just thought they were he could have been asked a lot tougher questions, which were not addressed, like what are they doing with all the content they're collecting of U.S. citizens as well as others in the world? You know, that was never asked. And if he said they're not doing it, which I think that's what he said or implied, why he should address a couple issues, like how could the FBI look into all the back email from Generals Petraeus and Generals Allen, and how could Director Mueller of the FBI testify to the Senate Judiciary Committee on the 30th of March of 2011 that he had access to a database that he worked with the Department of Defense to construct, which allowed him to pull out all past emails and all future ones as they came in on a person. Now, with the DOD, the email collection then would be a function of NSA. That's electronic collection. That's NSA's charter. So he's talking about an NSA database. So he's going into an NSA database there. Plus, the focus that he gave was more or less just on NSA analysts' use of the data that they have collected and stored. But no one is really talking about or addressing the FBI or the Drug Enforcement Agency and any law enforcement use of that data also. And they're not addressing that aspect of it.
Well, needless to say, there's been a lot of criticism from journalists and media analysts that basically are slamming CBS for doing a kind of Valentine, and particularly John Miller, the reporter who used to work for the Director of National Intelligence and who is being criticized for these softball questions. So that, needless to say, will go on. You know, 60 Minutes, of course, is reeling from the Lara Logan scandal over the phony Benghazi story. So it looks like they've shot themselves in the other foot with this one, at least from what I'm reading online. But let's go to some of the substance, though, in that CBS 60 Minutes on Sunday, where the Richard Leggett, an NSA official, floated the idea that maybe they should make an offer to, a sort of amnesty offer to Edward Snowden to stop the leaks, and as far as I know, only 1% of the leaks have been made public so far, and they've clearly been damaging to the NSA. So what did you make of Richard Ledgett's offer, which, by the way, the head of the NSA, General Alexander, dismissed?
Yes, I don't. I think he's dreaming to even think of doing that, because that would be basically impossible. I mean, after all, he was actually suggesting that he would have to have assurances that he could get all that material back. Well, that's something that Edward Snowden could never in any way guarantee, because he's distributed around to many different people, and so he'd have to pull it back from all of them. And I'm sure that they're backed up any number of ways, too, so it's basically impossible for him to get that assurance. And so that was basically, I think, a ridiculous thing to even think of.
So what do you know as a former NSA analyst for, you know, total of 37 years, and without getting into classified details, what do you know about what Snowden has in terms of where is this stuff? Is it in a cloud? Is it in the possession of Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras and the Washington Post? Where is this stuff physically, and how secure is it from anybody getting it, from the people that have it now? If you say that Snowden doesn't have it and he's in Russia, and a lot of people, of course, are concerned that there he is in Russia, which is not exactly a friendly country to the United States under the leadership of Putin, a lot of people think that the information is already being compromised. So, well, let's start with that question. Has this information been compromised?
I don't have any information that it has been compromised myself. No, I don't, because it appears to me that, for example, when they stopped David Miranda, Glenn Greenwald's friend, who was visiting Laura Poitras and then coming back to Rio from Berlin, and they stopped him in Heathrow and basically took his electronic equipment and found, I think it was at least 58,000 files there that it applied, that were documents that were applied to GCHQ and NSA. So the data is being held by other people, not Snowden. How much of it they have, I don't know. Some of the estimates I've heard even today is up to 1,700,000 files. And so I don't think they have any idea how much he's really taken. So, but I don't think he's got it. I don't think Snowden has it at all. I think he turned it all over in... It seemed to me from the reporting on what was going on that he turned all that material over to them, and over to Laura and Glenn in Hong Kong.
Again, I'm speaking with William Binney, who served for 32 years in the National Security Agency and another 4 years in the military component of the NSA for a total of 37 years. He rose to the rank of Technical Director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis and Reporting Group at the National Security Agency. Now, so if that amount of material is out there, what is the justification for taking it all? I mean, the initial reasons given by Snowden in that brief interview that he did for Laura Poitras, he basically said that his focus was to alert the American people to the abuses of its own intelligence services collecting data on American citizens, which the public need to know about. But so much of what's happened since then seems to be unrelated to that, to our domestic concerns about our freedoms. It's more related to what the NSA does abroad, and of course it's creating a lot of problems with allies, etc. So what's go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it's not just abroad. I mean, the systems really apply worldwide, including inside the United States. So I it's hard to separate them to the two, you know, from, it's a system of acquisition of information that is, you know, based in the United States, but it spreads all the way around the world. So it's one connected activity.
But in terms of Snowden's focus, or at least his original intent, that seems to have been lost, not the least of which he's stuck in Russia as a guest of a country with a hostile intelligence service. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get a sense of what the proportionality is here in terms of all of this material. What's the end game? What are we trying to achieve here?
Well, I believe that this is my perspective on it, is that this is, and I think Snowden has the same perspective on it, is that what is going on is not just a a threat to the democracy in the United States, but it's a threat to the democracies around the world. So it's not only our problem; it's a world problem. And this is like what this is fundamentally is what totalitarian states do. That is, gather all the information they can about individual citizens. That's what the Stasi did. That's what the KGB did. You know, and the SS and the Gestapo. They all did that. And it was a way and means of having leverage against the population, controlling the population and all. And that's how totalitarian states operate. So this fundamentally of gathering this kind of information about individual citizens is a totalitarian state process. And what that is they're spreading that around the world. I mean, it's being marketed and being developed here and marketed around the world to all kinds of countries. And Five Eyes are, of course, the ones that are actively doing it now. That's the U.S., Canada, the U.K., New Zealand, and Australia. So, and they're the closest allies in the world, I believe. So, and it's going into other countries like Sweden. We just read some material about Sweden, where they are also getting involved in this and participating in X-Key Score and other kinds of programs that are involving NSA. So, this totalitarian process is being spread around. Instead of being spreading democracy, we're spreading these processes that are anti-democratic.
So from your
I think that's what he thought too.
Right. But from your long experience at the NSA, William Binney, and of course you were a genuine whistleblower, I'm not denigrating Snowden in any way, but let's face it, you never took one piece of classified information out of the NSA, and yet they hounded you and arrested you and held a gun to your head and all of that intimidation. He's taken the crown jewels, it sounds like. I mean, God knows how many files. We don't know. So there's a fundamental difference there. But in terms of what 60 Minutes presented as a kind of Valentine to the NSA to get their side of the story out, what's your sense then of that culture? In other words, you're saying that we are heading down the road towards totalitarianism because of this excessive secrecy and snooping on our own citizens, which is the modus operandi of all totalitarian states. So given that, I guess what it comes down to is we as citizens in this country have to depend upon the kindness of strangers, right? We have to depend upon the idea that General Alexander is a good guy.
Yeah, that's right. It boils down to trust. And what they're finding out over here in my country is that they can't really trust them because they lie to them all the time. They lie to the FISA courts. They lie to the intelligence committees. They lie to Congress. I mean, it's only now with the Snowden material coming out that they're being caught red-handed doing it.
So you don't have the trust. You don't trust them.
You can't trust them.
Right.
I mean, I know these people. They lie all the time. So you just can't trust them. You have to have some way of verifying what they're telling you. Like, for example, let's just say, take the 60 Minutes thing where General Alexander was addressing the question about why couldn't you get the two terrorists who came in from Kuala Lumpur in early 2001 and then made a call back to the Yemen terrorist center that they had back there at that time. And he said, well, we didn't know the calls were coming from California. Well, I mean, you know, they must have disengaged their caller ID. The worldwide public switch telephone network works only if the switches are given the information that tells you where the call is coming from and where it's going to. So if they tell the switches, then NSA gets that data and they know it too. It's just that that's a false statement. I mean, they absolutely knew where it was coming from, but they just didn't pay too much attention to it. That's all. So, you know, that's setting up a false basis for making any judgment by anybody whatsoever. So that's what I mean about you can't trust what they tell you.
Well, now, this was in reference to the two 9/11 hijackers down in San Diego who slipped. The Malaysians had monitored their meetings. The CIA lost them at the airport in Bangkok, and they show up in San Diego. They're actually getting money from the wife of the Saudi ambassador, and the FBI is not told of their existence. And what I find extraordinary is, and this is not exactly to do with the NSA, is that during that period that these 9/11 hijackers were down in San Diego, the CIA officer who knew about them and did not tell the FBI is the same person who was given access to the filmmakers of the movie Zero Dark Thirty about the taking down of bin Laden. It's kind of an irony, don't you think, William Binney, that the filmmakers weren't told that she's the woman that blew it. And obviously that, in terms of making a movie, that would have been some, I think, additional motivation for the character.
Yeah, they could have added to the story, right?
Exactly. Anyway, I digress. Tell me, though, about... See, I don't know Alexandra, and I don't know the culture of the NSA. You do. You spent 37 years there. The fact that General Alexander built the war room as a replica of the bridge of the Starship Enterprise gives me a kind of queasy feeling in my stomach.
Yeah, I think it's more for show than anything else. The substance is not there. I mean, the real point is how do you really produce intelligence from data? And that's not, you don't do it in a chair looking around a room at a bunch of screens. You know, it comes from the fusing of information and the recognition of things that imply intentions and capabilities from potential threats. And that's not done on those screens. It's done by people looking at data and realizing the relationships that are going on.
So are you saying that we're not getting value for money here?
That's right. You're getting a showpiece.
I see.
I mean, how many times have they succeeded in the past few years? Did they catch the Boston bomber? Did they catch the Times Square bomber? Did they catch the underwear bomber? Did they catch the shooter in Fort Hood, you know? I mean, the list is pretty long.
So what's your explanation for why they don't deliver on the billions and billions of taxpayer money that is funneled their way?
Well, I've been saying for quite some time they're taking in too much data, and what it does is it makes them dysfunctional. So they have so much data to look at that they can never get to it, and they can't even begin to assimilate it into a consolidated picture or an understanding of how they could see relationships that are occurring in potential targets that are threatening. So they can't boil it down to the essence of what's important to look at, to make decisions on and inference intentions of and capabilities of potential enemies.
So I've heard the criticism that the NSA's job is to find a needle in a haystack, and since 9/11, all that money and paranoia, all it's done is pile on more hay.
Yes, it's made the haystack orders of magnitude larger, and made it the orders of magnitude harder to find the needle. But it's done a lot. It's done a lot for contractors. It's made a lot of money for the contractors, building storage facilities, managing flow of information, managing storage of information, managing the query process, building software to do the queries, and all of that, and supporting all the infrastructure that was built to maintain all of that for NSA.
So
contractors have won on that.
Well, clearly, and of course, it's worth pointing out to the audience that Edward Snowden worked for a contractor, Booz Hamilton.
Yeah.
They 98% of their money comes from the U.S. taxpayer. And what's happening about holding these people accountable in terms of the catastrophic leaks? At least, you know, according to the NSA official that floated the idea of offering Snowden amnesty to stop the damage, he'd said that these disclosures have been cataclysmic for the NSA.
Well, I don't know what damage they've done. Okay, all they did is expose that they're doing a lot of collection of data, and that means that hasn't changed. They're still doing that, and if people want to communicate to organize a threat attack against one of the Western countries or the United States, they still have to communicate to organize that, so they're still collecting it. So what's the loss? I don't see the loss.
Well, the point I'm making, though, is that is that what has been done, if the intelligence agencies and the NSA in particular, they consider this Snowden leaks disastrous for them. And obviously the White House feels that way, the CIA feels that way, the Director of National Intelligence feels that way. They think that Snowden, his leaks have been catastrophic. Yet, the point I'm making is I don't see anybody being held accountable. After 9/11, the first thing that happened was that George Bush went over to Langley and put his arm around George Tenet. And they're buddy buddies, and obviously there was, Bush did not want Tenet on the outside telling stories about how they screwed up with all the information about 9/11 that was available, which they didn't act on, for which they should be held accountable. They for the reckless endangerment of the United States. So, after Pearl Harbor, they had a whole bunch of admirals and generals got cashiered. I haven't seen anything like that since. As a result of 9/11, and I haven't seen anything like that as a result of the Snowden leaks.
Yeah, that's right. They're not holding anybody accountable. I haven't seen accountability as a process except for whistleblowers,
like yourself. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where they go. That's who they target. Well, look.
That's only to prevent embarrassing things from being exposed to the public too. That was the reason they did that. And that's the reason they're trying to threaten whistleblowers now, to keep everybody quiet from all the unconstitutional and criminal activity they've been doing for a decade.
Well, William Binney, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Okay. All right. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
And again, I've been speaking with William Binney, who served for 32 years in the National Security Agency and another 4 years in the military component of the NSA for a total of 37 years. He rose to the rank of the Technical Director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis and Reporting Group at the NSA. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back getting a report on the tragedy in the Central African Republic.